Good morning, and welcome to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. Although we will not be offering the Wednesday evening Lenten suppers this year, please note the upcoming Holy Week and Easter events listed in the announcement page, as well as the other upcoming events and meetings. On Palm Sunday afternoon, there will be an Easter egg hunt, scavenger hunt, and other activities for the children of the church. Please help us by providing candy to fit into the plastic Easter eggs. Further details are on the announcement page, and if you'd like to help with that event, please visit with Kathy Connell. There's a basket actually out there under the memory tree that you can place those contributions in. We will have a Maundy Thursday worship service this year, as well as an Easter sunrise service and breakfast. Also, we're planning to once again welcome the children on Easter Sunday morning to help with the flowering of the cross during both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock worship services. If you'd like to help finance the cost of the 1,000-plus flowers that will be used for the crosses, please fill out the sheet inside your bulletin, include a check, and write Flowering of the Cross on the memo line, and you can place that in the offering plate later in the service, or bring it to the church office and give it to Carol during the week. We also anticipate resuming our monthly potluck lunches, with the first one being on Sunday, May 1st, immediately after the 11 o'clock service. And please also remember that next Saturday evening, March 12th, we will spring forward with our clocks for the daylight savings time change. Also, Lauren Kirby, his children Mike McNeil and Shelley Taylor and their families wish to thank the church for hosting a delicious chicken dinner after the services for Helen on this past February the 11th. We also want to say a special thanks to Pastor Dennis, Lenora, and Gail Gentry for making Helen's service a wonderful memory of her life and a testimony of being saved by grace. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. God's wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. May the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And be thankful. We'll now sing number 725, God of the Ages, whose almighty hand all stanzas.
God of the Ages, whose almighty hand cast. Be thou our ruler. God's increase, thy bounteous goodness, nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on our toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. O God, we are grateful for the privilege of gathering in your house once again this morning in the safety and security of this sanctuary where our nation's laws provide us the right to be here and to worship in the way we choose. We thank you for this place at Berry and for our leadership, our music ministries, and children's and youth ministries. We especially give thanks for the brothers and sisters in Christ who gather here each Sunday in worship and fellowship. We seek now the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a couple moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our children to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. She remembers. I'll point her out if she doesn't say good morning. I did it anyway, didn't I? Today I want to talk about when we just have really, 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 really busy days. Do you have really, 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 really busy days or times when things just are seems like you can't be on mom saying, hurry up, we're going to be late, come on, let's go. I'll bet we do sometimes, Yeah. We all get really busy sometimes, don't we? Well, here's what I want to ask you. Sometimes when mom and dad or other adults are busy, do you get kind of frustrated when you're trying to talk to them and it's like they're not listening to you? And I say, in a minute. I got to finish this first. In a minute. Or, not right now. Well, I'll just give me a little bit. Do you ever get frustrated when, yeah, Jeff, do you do? Yeah, when it seems like adults aren't listening to you. Sometimes it's our parents, sometimes it's our teachers, sometimes it's just people we're around. Well, I was wondering, do you suppose God gets frustrated with us when we don't listen to him? You don't think so? I'll bet he does. I'll bet he goes, oh, okay, I'm going to have to try harder to get them to listen because they're not paying any attention to me. I'll bet he gets just as frustrated as you get when we don't listen. We need to learn to listen better sometimes, don't we? We need to learn to listen when maybe mom really is really busy, or she's talking with somebody else, or on the phone, or because when they're on the phone, it's the best time to interrupt them. We all know that, right? Yeah. So maybe we need to learn to listen better to what's going on around us and to listen to God better. Maybe we should try that, you think? Try listening better? Yeah? I think so. Should we have a prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and these beautiful children. Thank you that you are always with us and always willing to speak with us and guide us and direct us. Help us learn to listen better. Talk less, listen more. We need this. We need this to hear your words. We need this also to be kind and generous and respectful of all those around us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word of celebration this week as Evelyn Prusner. She normally attends the 11 o'clock service with Anna and Wanda Egret. She's a neighbor of Wanda's, and Evelyn is going to be 100 years of age Tuesday of this week. And she was here at the Ash Wednesday service, and she just keeps moving right along. So we praise God for that. Dolly Llewellyn continues to be in the same hospital room at North Kansas City Hospital. Still, this fluid issue regarding her lungs continues to be a problem. So, you know, this is now by Wednesday, I think we're going to be hitting the fourth week for Dolly. So please keep her in your prayers. She's alert and striving to keep moving forward, but again, got to get this fluid issue squared up before she can go into rehabilitation. Our sympathy is extended to Gene Kimmerling, with the passing of his wife, Grace. Gene and Grace would attend the 11 o'clock service as a general rule. Some of you may remember them. They've been long, long time members of the church, but Grace passed away early yesterday morning at the McCright Rehabilitation Center, where both of them have been residents now for many months. We also continue to lift up Joan Hamilton. She continues her rehabilitation at St. Luke's in Smithville, where she is closer to family members. She's making steady and good progress, so we're very grateful for that. Jean Cantola wants me to certainly express a word of appreciation to all of you for her prayer, for your prayers for she and her husband John with the passing of John just a few days back. Tim Jackson is back to his duties here at the church office and throughout the building, and so we're very grateful for that. And want to lift up Rihanna Ralston as she continues to undergo tests through her physicians, striving to find out what's going to be the next direction for treatment. Also received word from Betty and Nick Riga. Many of you may remember them. They, of course, made the move to St. Louis just shortly after Carrie and I came here about 6 years ago. Betty is facing colon cancer surgery in the near future, and that's about all the details I know right now, so please keep Nick and Betty in prayer. Also, we certainly do lift up the many students, faculty members, families affected by the shooting that took place at the Olathe East High School just this past Friday morning. And a friend of mine, Leslie Wilson, she shares with me that her son, Christopher Wilson, who's in the Army, is going to be off on a deployment here in the next few days. So we want to keep Christopher and his fellow soldiers in prayer. As Leslie tells me, Christopher can't tell her where he is going, but watch the news. So that's always an ominous feeling when you are the parent of a person in military service and they say, I can't tell you where I'm going, just watch the news. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, it is with humility of heart and mind that we bow our heads in prayer before your presence this Lord's Day. We are grateful for the privilege to abide in the place of profound stability in which we so are acutely aware of the fact that there are millions of Ukrainian people in other parts of the world now suffering from the pursuits of the malicious and evil-minded. Through your Spirit's guidance, we join the millions the world over who are seeking those avenues that can offer solace and resource for those afflicted, those who agonize the loss of loved ones, those suffering through injuries, those who are homeless, those fighting for their freedom to govern themselves, and those fleeing to safety, and for the millions rendering aid. Scriptures remind us that wars and rumors of war will prevail so long as Satan has his hand in world affairs. But we are not stymied into despair. Instead, we lift up in prayer the millions determined to prevail in their efforts to overcome evil with the goodness of Christ. May those suffering so intensely find comfort in the words of our Lord Jesus as he declared in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And as Jesus gave his disciples assurance and indeed also gives assurances to those who suffer today, he continued his words of comfort as he also said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And as we find great assurance in the truth that in Christ, humanity will indeed overcome the forces of evil, we pray that in mind, heart, and soul, the many who are suffering today will indeed discover great comfort and peace through the millions the world over who are striving to offer assistance in the weeks, months, and indeed years to come. This we pray as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Midwestern states of our nation are called the breadbasket of America because so much of the wheat and other essential grain products are grown in the middle portion of our nation. Ukraine has long been called the breadbasket of Europe because so much of the same kinds of grain are grown there as are grown here in the Midwest, providing Europe's greatest source of food resource. The lay of the land, the black land prairie soil, and the weather conditions of both regions are strikingly similar. Bread thus becomes a common denominator of both regions, even though they are separated by over 5,687 miles, most of it the North Atlantic Ocean. As we assemble at our Lord's table, it is no accident that Jesus lifted up the simplest, most common and most essential of all food sources to represent himself, as he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he thus became the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. As we share in the bread of Christ's table this morning, we share this table with the 71% of Ukrainian people who also profess the same Christ as Lord as do 65% of American citizens today. And we pray for all who suffer at the hand of injustice and brutality as we remember that the ultimate victory will surely be in Christ, who is Lord. Our communion hymn number 425, we sing all stanzas of "Let Us Break Bread Together."
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we gather around your table today, bringing our concerns and worries and laying them at the feet of Jesus. We know that through the sacrifice of your Son, we are welcome here at your table. As we take the bread and cup offered to symbolize the body and blood of Christ, We ask that you help us to remember all that it represents. We know that we need listening ears to hear your voice and carry your love and compassion into this broken world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Through partnerships in Europe, the Week of Compassion offering of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ has already responded to the immediate needs of the people of Ukraine, as 28 tons of food have been shipped to people fleeing to Hungary, and staff have been working with refugees at the Ukraine-Hungary border. Shipments of canned food, flour, sugar, oil, rice, pasta, biscuits, long-life milk, tea, and hygiene products are arriving at centers for families forced to leave their homes. Shelter capacities are being scaled up, and humanitarian information points are being established to help those arriving to the border and awaiting entry. Week of Compassion has connected with the international ministries of the American Baptist Church and their work through the European Baptist Federation, as refugees have already been arriving at church doors for assistance. Week of Compassion is focused on providing relief in the immediate days and weeks, while also strategizing with global and domestic partners for a long-term coordinated response. Because of the ongoing conflict, over 1.5 million refugees have already fled to neighboring countries, while there is also a staggering number of internally displaced people inside Ukraine. Internal displacement in Ukraine raises issues, including shelter, water and sanitation, food security, health and protection needs. These concerns are expected to increase rapidly in the coming weeks, if not months. You can help simply by writing a check to our church and marking on the memo line Week of Compassion, and your resources will join those of thousands of others in the days to come. Dave leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Father, we thank you for this day that we are able to gather here in your house and worship you. As we prepare to receive a portion of all that you have given us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and holy God, as our world continues to be filled with strife, violence, and injustice, we wonder if our yearning for peace can ever be fulfilled. But as we lean on the teachings of our Lord Jesus, may we truly comprehend that genuine peacemaking is only possible through genuine reconciliation with you, through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The word peace certainly has a lot of various meanings for many people throughout the world. Often when we think of peace, many quickly believe it simply means the absence of violence, as if everybody and everything could actually just be a-okay. No troubles, no tribulation, just calm, smooth sailing for everyone. As a child of a military family during the Vietnam era, I found myself bewildered by those in the streets waving two fingers in the air, hollering, "Peace, man, peace." While my father and the fathers of nearly every neighbor down my street were sergeants in the Air Force and Army and were serving overseas in Vietnam. Some of our fathers never returned, and me and my buddies often silently wondered if our fathers would return or not. I wondered what protesters thought peace would really look like if those fighting to spread communism were given free rein to roll down our streets in tanks and armored personnel carriers and take away freedoms. And with everything that has unfolded in Ukraine, I don't imagine there are many Ukrainian people simply waving two fingers in the air and hollering out, "Peace, man," as Russian tanks are rolling down their streets and rockets, missiles, and bombs are destroying their cities and towns. In the seventh beatitude, Jesus tells us that the peacemakers are those who would be called the children of God. But what did Jesus mean by calling a person a peacemaker? The word peace in the Hebrew language that was familiar to Jesus never meant the absence of trouble or calm, smooth sailing for anyone. On the contrary, in the Hebrew culture, it is understood that evil and subsequent tribulations are simply a part of our human existence, a consequence of the separation from God that has borne challenge and strife through the generations. As Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 22, "In the world you will have tribulation." But yet Jesus also gives his disciples and each of us then a measure of hope as he goes on to say, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." The word Jesus uses here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, in the Hebrew language is salam. It means literally, "Peace be upon you," but it also has a much deeper expression, as it hopes that which may be bestowed upon you is everything which makes for your highest good. This unique expression, salam, is only used in this text here in Matthew's gospel, and then a second time in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, where Paul writes, "Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace." In other words, God made salam through his Son's death on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. Thus, as we combine the meaning of both of these texts, what we understand is that peace, salam, experiencing humanity's highest good, is really only possible by being reconciled with God And Jesus is the one who has accomplished this for us through the sacrifice of his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin that has separated us from God. Jesus, our Lord, laid down his life to make peace between God and sinners. There was nothing passive here. Peace, salam, the attainment of the highest good for humanity, took the pain, the anguish of Christ's death. It took Christ to justify the wrongs in the power of his resurrection. It is Jesus, therefore, who is the first true peacemaker. And we too become peacemakers as we strive to do what we can to help reconcile ourselves and others to God through Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and onward, "When anyone is joined to Christ, he is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends. And then he gave us the task of making others his friends also. Thus, if peace, salam, is the attainment of one's highest good, and that highest good is reconciliation with God in Christ, then a true peacemaker is the one who helps others become reconciled with God through Jesus. And we do this as compassionate witnesses for Christ. We become peacemakers." In the second portion of this beatitude, Jesus says that peacemakers are the ones who will be called the children, or if you will, the sons of God. The Hebrew language doesn't have an abundance of adjectives like we have in our English language. So the typical Hebrew way of describing something is to use the phrase the children of or the son of plus an abstract noun. Hence, a person may be called a son of peace rather than a peaceful man. In the New Testament, Barnabas, for example, is called a son of consolation instead of being called a comforting man. Thus, in this seventh beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children or sons of God," it really means, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are godlike." They are godly. So, as we try to summarize the seventh beatitude from our King James Version of the Bible and have it make sense for us today, it could simply be stated this way. And again, remember, every beatitude I've shared with you starts with this phrase, "Oh, the blessedness of." Oh, the blessedness of the peacemakers who reconcile others to God in Christ, for they are godly. You see, it's a lot simpler than we think. Peacemaking, thus, is not a passive task. It is certainly an active and diligent task of helping others experience, realize their highest good in Christ. And as the events in Ukraine have unfolded, we realize once again that it is really difficult to live in peace, to achieve one's highest godly ways when the bully on the block is trying to destroy you, your families, your communities, and everything you value simply because the bully thinks your property is his. Despite the insurmountable tragedy that has unfolded through Putin's relentless assault on a peaceful democracy, we continue to see the defiant peacemakers. busy about the task of reconciliation, diligent about godly ways in the midst of the proliferation of evil destruction. Putin may think he is destroying a society, but instead, the Ukrainian society is being forged greater than before. Putin may be trying to destroy the European Union and cripple NATO, but instead their solidarity is strengthened, and Ukraine, Finland, and Sweden may one day become part of NATO, as have several of the previous Eastern Bloc nations. And in fact, the fact that so many of those nations have become a part of NATO is one of those things that just rubs dear old Putin the wrong way. 1,500,000, mostly women, and half of them children, we know, have now fled Ukraine. But they are being greeted, fed, clothed, and housed by peacemakers in Poland, Hungary, Moldova, Slovakia, Romania, Germany, and soon many other nations throughout the world. Young Russian soldiers walk the streets of Ukraine and are met by Ukrainians singing their national anthem. Some young Russian soldiers are being captured, but peacemakers are giving them phones to call their families back in Russia. Putin decimates cities with rockets, bombs, and missiles simply because he can. But the peacemaking spirit of the Ukrainian people will live on and will one day somehow be determined to rebuild. Yes, being a peacemaker, just as our Lord Jesus showed us, is hard work. When Satan is furiously striving to destroy the highest good in others, but what we know is that peacemaking will prevail. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give to you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." Are you a peacemaker? Have you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? If you haven't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4. Hymn number 119. thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you endeavor to be peacemakers in your world throughout this new week. May we pray. Lord God, as we journey forward with the task at hand, we give thanks for your presence, as indeed we continue to be mindful of the many in such great need and dealing with so much suffering. And guide us as we step forward with the tasks that are before us, that we may bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen.
Father.